Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here, and we're going to continue here where we left off from our Sunday school hour from last Sunday. Hope you guys have your green book, A Sure Foundation. If you don't have this book and you need a copy, we may have a couple of extra copies in our storage cabinet, and if we don't, then I will order you one because we want to finish this book together as a church family this week. Well, not this week, but I mean, I'll order you one this week if you don't have one of these books. So if you don't, all you got to do is just let me know and we'll make sure that we can get you one. So that way you guys can all and all of us can be together for the Sunday school hour. We'll all be encouraged together. So in the video description link, and also if you're tuning in with us on Podbean, I do have the description of where you can find the material that we are discussing. And that is at jameswknox.org. It is the Bible school, and you can find that book link there. And so if you get a chance, check it out, and I highly encourage that information. So what we're talking about, guys, is the attributes of God. And today we're going to finish off on talking about the holiness of God. We've been discussing thus far various attributes of the Godhead of the Holy Bible, that He is an unchangeable God, that He is an eternal God. We've been discussing that He is a just God, and we discussed His power. So now we're discussing His holiness as one of the many attributes of the Godhead of the Holy Bible. So let's go ahead and pray now, and we'll continue now for the Sunday school hour. God, I thank You for allowing us to be here. Thank You for allowing us to wake up another day of life and breath not promised. Would You please draw near to us now as we draw near to You. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit and help us now to be faithful, to attend our minds and our hearts, to receive the Word of God, and also to glean from the materials we are going to study now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so if you have your green book, hope you're following along now. If you don't have your green book, hope you have your Bible open. That sure be a blessing. Page 66, A Sure Foundation, point number four. God sets the standards of right and wrong for the universe. He is God. It is His universe. He made it. He is free to do what He will, and He alone sets the standard of right and wrong for this universe. These standards are perfect. You could not possibly improve upon them, and any attempt to change them will bring untold suffering. The problem with man is easily summarized. In his pride, he does not believe that God's holy laws for running his universe are right and perfect. As a result, man is continually rebelling against the will of God and transgressing the commands of God. This folly brings untold grief, sorrow, and suffering upon himself and upon his planet. If man would submit to the holy and perfect standards of right and wrong established by God, then all the troubles for which he blames God would vanish. Let's go ahead and turn down our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. If you're in your study book, please follow along with us on page number 66. But if you don't, you have the Bible, that's the best book, Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Let's go down now here, church, to verse number 20. Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Here's what we're told. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Let's consider now Psalm 33, verse 4. Psalm 33, verse 4. The Bible says here, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. So, my friend, you may think that you have a better idea. You may have a different opinion. You may imagine you have a better way of doing things. But alas, you and I are wrong if we cross what God has said in His Word. So what are we talking about? God is holy. His judgments, His truths, His laws, His commandments, His precepts, the Bible says that they are right and they are truth. So whenever we have a feeling or a thought that contradicts what we read plainly in the Bible, friend, we will be found at fault and we will be wrong if we follow through with that desire and then hence the decision. And then before you know it, we become a sinner because we would transgress that commandment of God. So, friend, that's what we're discussing now, the holiness of God. Let's go ahead and turn down our Bibles to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. If you have your green book, we're on page number 66. We're going to be towards the bottom of the green book. If you can continue there, I appreciate that. Psalm 66. I'm sorry, page 66. Page 66. Sorry about that. All right. So here we have it, Psalm 19. Let's read now from verse 7 through 10. The Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right." You see there, church? Hope you're following along. Two times now, God said that his word is right. We read that in Psalm 33, verse 4. Now we're reading it in Psalm 19, verse number 8. What does the word of God, that is the right truth that we really need, what does it do for our heart if we believe and receive it? Notice again, verse number 8, church, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. How about that? Let's keep reading. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Do you see there, friend? More to be desired are they than gold. So, what should be more important than gaining that money? The word of God. What should be more important than gaining favor with man? The word of God. All those things, friend, that we are pondering and all those things that we are considering, they are far more valuable and they are far more satisfying, if you will, than anything else that this world has to offer. And that's why we're always encouraging you to be reading your Bible on a daily basis and hanging out and fellowshipping with like-minded Christians that are going to be strengthening your desire for what? The Word of God, the Bible, because, friend, it is far more valuable than the money you work for, than the family you got, than the culture you are a part of. It is way more better. That's what's going to actually cleanse your heart from sin, friend. So look at verse number 10. More to be desired are they than fine gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Look at verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Look at verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. So what does the Bible do, friend? In a quick nutshell, the Bible shows you where you're wrong. The Bible shows you what you're doing right for God. And the Bible will give you the answer to the question. The Bible will give you the solution to how to get out of the wrongdoing and to get into the right doing. And God promises you, if you continue in the right doing, the Word of God is going to enlighten your eyes. The Word of God is going to rejoice your heart. But when you stray from the Word of God, from your heart, and you continue in the evil path, or if you will, the path of sin and disobedience, friend, don't be surprised. If you are ignoring the one who's trying to warn you about that path, don't be surprised when you don't have a desire for reading the Bible. And before you know it, you don't even have a desire for it, because you are satisfying your mouth with temporal pleasures more than eternal joy. Look at page 67. God has given us his word in the Holy Bible. A perfect God must have a perfect, holy, sinless word that is always right. And friend, that's what you have there in your King James Bible. You would do well to stop living by your own opinions, your own rules, your own regulations, your own dogmas and creeds that men have invented to replace God's revelation. You would do well to get a copy of God's word and believe it, obey it, live by it, and do just what it says. Now, we read just what the Bible says in these verses from Psalm 19 regarding God's word. We read that it's perfect. We read that it's sure. We read that it's right, that it's pure, that it's clean, and that it endures forever. That's what we read. It is greater than gold. That's what we read. And it's sweeter than honey. Nothing compares to that. The results of simply taking God at his word are conversion of your soul, wisdom in place of your simplicity, rejoicing in your heart, enlightening your eyes, and a life that endures forever. All those blessed things a man may receive if he will simply believe, accept, and live by the right standard that God has established. Let's go to Matthew 5, friend. If you have your green book, we're on page 67. Matthew 5, and let's go down to verse number 17. The Word of God says here, Jesus speaking, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So when Jesus came, he lived the law of God. He did not come to add to it, nor did he come to take away from it, for it was perfect. So again, what do we read this Sunday school afternoon? Psalm 33, 4, Isaiah 8, 20, Psalm 19. God said his word is clean, pure, perfect, righteous. It rejoices the heart. It converts the simple. It'll convert your soul. But what must the sinner do when he or she is exposed to the hearing of the word of God? You must believe it. Now, these are not in your notes. This is Brother Carlos. Turn your Bible with me now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And again, what are we discussing here for the Sunday school hour? We are talking about the attributes of God. Remember that? We are just discussing on the holiness of God, that he is a holy God. Amen. But do me a favor now. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's read now in verse number 13. Can I get a volunteer to read verse number 13? Por favor, anybody out there? Effectually. There you go. So what happened? What caused Giovanni to get saved? What caused Gibby, Eileen, Brother Carlos to get saved? When somebody shared with you the word of God, you had two options. One, believe it, obey it. Two, disobey it, don't believe it. Ignore it, like you were doing all your life before you actually chose to finally believe it. You know what God said was the result of you believing that the Bible was actually his word of God? It worked in you. It had an effect in you. It caused you to want to change to now start living for him, because that's how God's word can have an effect upon those that receive it and believe it as it is in truth, the word of God. So friend, that's what causes me to want to change. That's what motivates me to want to turn from sins over here, turn from sinful habits over there, turn from the darkness of family or friends over here in the culture that will hinder me from walking in the light of his word and in the joy of his word and in the fellowship with God, because those things cannot change me like the word of God can, because those things can only have an effect upon me on the outside. They cannot have an effect upon me on the inside. The word of God can have an effect upon you on the inside, but what do you have to do, friend? You have to receive and believe that that word that you're receiving there, that you're hearing, is the word of God. So it can have an effect, but you got to believe it. And then when you believe it, you got to obey it. All right, let's go to two more places and then we'll come back to our notes. Go with me now to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's read together now in verse number 1 and 2. I'm going to tell you now, friend, this is the solution. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to have a degree in theology, friend. All you have to do is believe this book. That's all I'm telling you to do. All you have to do is believe the word of God. This right here is going to be the key that so many Christians are so gullible of, just following some supposed apostle or prophet or pastor or calling some prayer line or sending money to some guru somewhere out there on the earth to say, what is the will of God for my life? What should I do? How do I handle this circumstance? What should I do with this situation? If only you believe that the word of God you're reading and hearing it and obeying it, it'll have the effect upon you. That's what it promised. It'll enlighten your eyes. That's what it promised. But many, 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 many Christians, they don't want the word of God no more. They just want the word of men. Look at verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, talking to Christians now, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you see there? So let me show you guys a quick picture. I showed you guys this last time. I texted the brethren, but let me give it to you in a quick summary form, if you will. So look up to the screen here. What did the Bible just tell you? Be not conformed. Be ye transformed, so you can prove what's of God. So then if you ask yourself, Brother Carlos, how do I know that this is something that I should do? Is it okay for me to do? You know, fill in the blank, whatever you want to discuss. Then what do you need to first do before you ask Brother Carlos? Don't conform, be transformed, and then you'll prove. Do you see how easy that is? If you approach the Word of God as it is in truth, Sister Eileen read it, this is God's Word. If I believe that this is God's Word, and I receive from His mouth to teach me, and if I submit to it and I obey it and don't conform to the world and I am transformed in my mind, then I will be able to prove what's good, what's acceptable in the will of God for my life. So before you call pastor or before you look up this guy on YouTube or before you start searching on Google this and that, friend, you have the Word of God. What you have to do is come to Him with a heart of faith and say, God, here's my circumstance. Here's my situation. How do I respond to this person? How do I respond to that person? What do I do? He told you, don't conform. Be transformed, and you'll be able to discern and prove that's good, that's not. This is right, that's not right. This is acceptable, this isn't. Why? Because you're going to the law and to the testimony, Isaiah 20. You're going to the Word of God, Psalm 33, verse number 4. You're going to the Word, Psalm 19, that's able to enlighten your eyes, rejoice your heart, and cleanse you. Amen to that. Look at that, verse number 1 Peter 13. The Bible also tells you, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. you can't be a Christian getting drunk out there and smoking and being under the influence and think that you're going to discern the will of God for life. No. And obviously, guys, it's not just limited to substance, right? You know, it's not just that. You got to be cool in your spirit, a sober man. Amen. There's a lot more definition for that word, but let's keep reading. It says, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. So right off the bat, friend, the will of God is not for you to go back to how you used to be. Amen. Anybody out there? But as He which hath called you is holy, what does He tell you? So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So friend, that's how we want to prove today what is God's will for my life personally. We want to go and find out where it's written. And then once you find out where it's written, then that's how you can prove what's good, what's not, what's acceptable for your personal life. But you might say, Brother Carlos, some of the things that affect me that may not really affect you and vice versa. I understand that. Why? Because some of us are stronger in our walk with the Lord. Some of us are weak in our walk with the Lord. But ultimately, it's going to be the same book, the same source. It's going to be the same Word of God that's going to prove to us today what we should do and how we should respond to either wherever we're at in our life. So let's go now quickly to Romans 15 and keep that in the back of your mind, what we're discussing as we're discussing the holiness of God that is His attribute and then how we ought to respond now to the Word to help us in whatever circumstance or situation we might find ourselves in. Look it with me now in Romans 15, verse number 1. The Bible says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So here's Brother A over here, and here's Sister B over here. They both have a walk with God, but Brother A is stronger in his walk, in his knowledge, in his faith. Sister B over here is a little weak in her knowledge, is a little weak in her faith, is a little weak in her walk, but they're both saved. They're both saved because they both trusted the same gospel. But what happens? Brother A over here, he's meditating on the Word of God day and night. He knows how she should, or he should, if you will, do what they need to do within that circumstance, that situation. Sister B over here, she's a little weak. She's not reading her Bible. She's not consulting the Word of God. She's not praying. She's not spending time. She's not believing that the Word of God is truly the Word of God. And that's why she doesn't have any spiritual discernment. That's why she doesn't really understand how she ought to approach the situation or how to respond to this trial or this temptation. She's not able to prove what is acceptable. She's not able to prove if this is right for her life. But Brother Strong knows. Sister Strong knows. Why? It's not that they're more perfect. It's not that they're more, if you will, righteous. No, no. It's because they're meditating on the Word of God. They're studying the Word of God. They're able to discern now because all they're doing is keeping their relationship with Him strong by meditating on His Word. And that's how the weak Christian can be supported by the strong Christian. The problem is, friend, is when we're weak in our walk with God, not wanting to let the strong help us because of our pride. So, friend, it's obvious there are some Christians around your life that know a little bit more, that have been walking with the Lord a little bit more, friend, and God told you to follow after their conversation because you can see the end. It's going to be blessed. They're strong. You know who those people are in your life, and there's nothing wrong with hanging out the week to try to encourage each other, but friend, you need a strong brother and sister to say, hey, this is how we approach this situation. Why? Well, not because necessarily of my experience, even though there's nothing wrong with testimony, but because the Bible says here. You guys understand what we're saying here? So the Word of God is perfect, friend. That's all you need. It's sure. It's right. It has all the sufficiency that you need. What we need to do is obey it. One more, Romans 6, and then we'll go back to our notes. Romans chapter 6. So what's the solution? How do I improve my holiness for this holy God that commands me to be holy because He's holy? I need to respond to the Word of God in faith, like it says, believing as it is in truth, like Sister Eileen read, that it truly is the Word of God. So when I approach the Bible like it is, the authority, the faith that I'm exercising to God, God is going to bless me supernaturally within my heart, within my spirit, to want to go for it, right? To want to obey it. But then I got to do the last part. I got to obey it. So faith opens up for me the opportunity. Faith opens up to me to the ability. And now obedience, if you will, completes that faith. Okay, now look at here real quick. Romans 6:16. The Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants, I'm sorry, yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So Christians can still sin. I don't know if anybody found that out, amen, after you got saved. You still make mistakes. Why? Because you can still choose, amen. You can choose either to sin over here and go back to the darkness. I've been teaching you that, guys. Wednesdays and Sundays services, the darkness. Don't stand the floor, amen. Get up. Or you could choose the Word of God, Psalm 19, meditating on that thing, letting it get in your heart, rejoicing and cleanse you. But you have to obey. Look at 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have, say with me now, church, obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So, friend, this is going to sound crazy, but listen to Brother Carlos just for the picture here. Coming to church isn't enough. Me hanging out with you and quoting the scriptures in front of you and having a good jolly time, it's not enough. Giving you the right Bible in English and Spanish and Portuguese and Japanese is not enough. It's not enough until you believe and obey. Trust and obey. Sister Eileen is going to sing amen. Special song today, Brother Giovanni. No, I'm just playing. Well, one of these days. You guys get what we're saying here? You got to trust. It's the Word of God, and you have to obey that Word of God, and it's going to have an effect upon your life. Are you with me here? So it has the answers. I think we all know what we got to work on together. All right, so bottom page 67, point number 5. Men must be judged by God's standard of holiness and not by their own lowered standards. You and I may establish within our heart, within our mind, within our church, within our religion, society, perhaps in your household as well, we establish standards of right and wrong. We may keep that standard and trust that having kept that standard that we're ready to meet God. Yet if our standard is not God's standard, we're not ready to meet God. We're facing damnation, friend. You know what Galatians 3:10 says? We're on page 68 of the Green Book. Galatians 3:10. Here's what Galatians 3:10 says. The Bible says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You see, friend, God gave you a book. And he told you in that book what he wanted you to do and not to do. If you do not do everything God said to do, if you do not refrain from doing everything God said not to do, you know what the Bible said? You're cursed. Look at James 2:10. James chapter 2, verse number 10. Almost done. The Bible says here, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Friend, you know what that shows of us? Man, God is holy. His holiness is so perfect. His demands for holiness are so great that the least offense, and it only takes one, right, makes a man a guilty transgressor. One sin places man in violation of God's holy law, and as a result, the law condemns him guilty, cursed before the judgment of God. Take it one step further. You say, Brother Carlos, out of the Ten Commandments, I don't have an idol. I do honor my parents. I'm not committing adultery against my wife, for those of you that are married. For those of your children, I'm honoring my father and mother. Outwardly, so far, you can say I can check them all. But let's take it a step further. Let's see what the heart of God looks towards the heart of man from the inside, not just you trying to take care of everything on the outside. Look at Matthew 5. We're almost done. Verse 21. The Bible says here, this is what Jesus said now. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But, let's go here to verse number, right here. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Do you see there? Just one violation, one act, one deed, one thought that is not holy makes us guilty before God. Jesus said in John chapter 12, and I'll just read this now on the projector for the sake of time. You don't have to turn there. John chapter 12, verse 47 through 48. The Bible says here, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Do you see there? So my friend, I think it's quite obvious that all of us here, we're all sinners. We have not kept the entirety of the laws of God. We have not obeyed every commandment of God. We have not been perfect, holy in every thought, every word, every deed or action since the day that we were born. Therefore, we were guilty before an almighty God. We will be judged in the day of judgment by the word of God that we have violated. And you know what it will prove? It'll prove guilty. The question is, what are we doing about this condemnation? Well, friend, we'll conclude. The Bible says that God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his body on the cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ took your sin upon himself. He took your guilt upon himself. He took your iniquity and transgression. He died your death. He suffered your punishment. He paid your penalty to satisfy the wrath and anger of a holy God. You know what he does then? He invites you to come and trust him, to cast your guilty soul at his feet, and to find in him mercy and forgiveness. If you today would simply believe that he died for you, and that he rose from the dead, and is able and willing to save you, you can come to him as a guilty and hell-deserving sinner and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. The Bible says that when you do that, God's holiness will be satisfied. This is because someone has died in your place, having paid your penalty completely. The holy God may forgive you because a holy Savior has offered himself a sacrifice in your place. So if there's anyone here today that is not sure if you truly are born again or if you have finally given your life to Jesus Christ, come talk to me after church. I'll just share with you and I'll remind you from the Bible. This is what Bible salvation looks like. This is what it is. And if you believe this, friend, you can have assurance and peace in your heart and mind knowing that you are saved. And if you have given your life to Jesus Christ and you are a Christian, then just like the first half of today's lesson, continue to walk by the word, discerning by the word, so you can prove within your own personal life what is good, what isn't, what is right, what isn't, what's acceptable, what isn't, because you're all proving it by the word of God. Amen? Anybody have any questions, comments before we close Sunday school? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for this Sunday school hour. I pray that we receive a little lesson, Lord God, for today's Sunday school. Pray that it will continue to have an effect upon the hearts of those that hear and believe and obey the word of God. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we'll see you in about 15 minutes for the Sunday service. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen.